This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Sand Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then. This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at GarciaForHouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
All right, Houston, here I am, Gilbert Garcia, A Tip from Gilbert, talk, inspiration, and prayer. And this is going to be a fun show. Hopefully you'll agree with me. I can't quite myself though, Mr. Producer, so hopefully I can be heard on the radio. But I have my partner, Ruby Dang, here with me. Ruby,
hi,
welcome
Gilbert.
To A Tip from Gilbert again.
Great. It's great to be here, Gilbert.
And
happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday. You're going to be looking at me, uh-huh. So step back a little bit. And then, of course, we have Daisy Marin here. And Daisy's going to come on because there's all kinds of interesting things going on in her life. I think one of the things I want to first say is, so this weekend was, of course, all the rage has been Barbie and Oppenheimer.
That's
now
right.
I can hear it, Mr. Producer. And of course, you know, my kids saw Barbie without me because they just couldn't wait. And I guess it's about like female empowerment. So I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to see it. But I did see Oppenheimer with my daughter. And I got to say, I kind of don't know what all the hubbub's about. Because, you know, there's all this loud music and all this stuff. And all it is a bunch of physicists talking about physics. I mean, it's just a bunch of physics people talking about physics. And, of course, the music's behind and it's building. And you're like, wow, listen to all this physics. And I don't know. It just didn't grab me like everybody else. And, of course, it was like 3 hours long. I mean, can you imagine 3 hours? Most of the time for a 3 hour block, you're sleeping.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
Seeing a movie for 3 hours, it's got to get you going. The music got you going and you're like, realize it's just a bunch of guys talking about physics.
Well, I didn't get to see the Barbie or the Oppenheimer, but I'm sure they're both great movies, right?
I mean, that's right. But it was just interesting, the whole Oppenheimer. And then it talks all about, was he a communist? How was his communist stuff? And, you know, I don't know if he's a communist, but it just talked about him being a communist. And it really, I think, missed something because they had the big explosion and the mushroom cloud for the test.
Mm-hmm.
But then they just sort of glossed over the role the bomb played in World War II. And I thought it had a great opportunity to really, you know, show some, like dropping the bomb over Japan and all the mushroom cloud over Japan or something. You know, you don't have to show all the people, the death and everything, but you could have done something so people recognize that we should never have a nuclear war. We just cannot have a nuclear war.
You know, on that, you know, yeah, how horrible, right? But looking at it from a different perspective, as I had the opportunity to visit Japan a few years back, and I went to Hiroshima.
Did you really?
And I went to the museum, and it was, I mean, it's very moving to see some of the artifacts that are displayed there and how horrific it was, you know, from to be able to witness it, you know, as you're walking through the museum and so much damage and destruction that had. It was very moving.
Well, let me ask you this. I never knew that about you. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I knew you've been to Japan many times to see your brother, who, of course, was a commander and a very successful naval career. And now, of course, he works as Metro as one of the leaders there. But going, and of course, your husband was, I guess the right word is a Vietnamese refugee.
Correct.
Is that the right word? Refugee?
Yes.
And now he's a citizen and all that, but he escaped
yes.
during the terrible times in the 70s.
Yeah.
So let me go back to something. So when you went to this museum, first of all, the city, was it Hiroshima?
Yes.
Is the city like modern and beautiful?
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. Well, my whole trip to Japan was beautiful. You know, it was very welcoming, very clean, very safe. And so the great thing is transportation is near and dear to you. I know that, you know, we had the opportunity to get on their bullet train and just go from one end to the other.
No kidding.
And one of the stops was the museum there. And my kids were a lot younger. They were probably maybe 4 and 6, but they, you know, they, you know, really enjoyed the visit. But I remember when we went to the museum, they were a little ahead of us and I didn't know what to expect. Right. And as they went ahead of us to see some of the artifacts, I remember them coming back and just rushing back to us because it was very moving to them.
Oh my gosh, Ruby. And you remember it, obviously, it's touching you.
It is.
Because you remember how it touched them.
It was.
Oh my gosh, Ruby. You know, I have seen some of the pictures. It's horrible.
It is.
People's skin just falling off.
It's terrible.
Terrible. And these are, you know, just civilians. They're not military people. They're just civilians going to work.
Right.
That is why, and thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I know it's very really personal for you. That is why we just can never have a nuclear war.
Exactly.
And I just thought Oppenheimer missed that opportunity. And maybe at the end, they should have shown the museum.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been a wonderful thing to have done. So in the museum, the obviously the museum is probably the different things are written in Japanese, I guess.
But it's translated in English. It is? Yeah. And there, it's really interesting because they have photos of like before and after. And
of buildings and of things?
Buildings, of cities, of like kids playing out in at the parks, and to see how full of life it was, and then in 1 second how it was destroyed.
Wow.
Yeah,
you gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, it was really
well. That's
really,
I think Oppenheimer was missing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You just now gave me more than Oppenheimer did, and of course, please go see it and all. But at the end of the day, I just felt I don't know. I was kind of a letdown or something. And of course, I don't have it there, but I will have it later on my website. Of course, my wife, my daughter and I went to the late feature because that's how she is. She wants to be late. And it was like almost 1 o'clock when we finished because we went at 9:30. It's a 3-hour movie. Yeah. And of course, they have one of those Barbie boxes, like a Barbie, like they sell the Barbie dolls, right, but a big one. And I had to take a picture with my daughter in a Barbie box.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I have one of those. I didn't have a prayer today. But I want to read something that has stuck with me since I was in high school. And I've had this since high school. And it was something that some copy machine place would give out. And that's why it's all faded. See that, Ruby? It's all faded. Yeah. And it has just touched me. Mm-hmm. So I want to read it to Houston. So Houston, whenever I'm a little down or something, I will read this. And it says, "This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or use it for good. What I do today is important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something I have traded for it. I want it to be gain, not loss.
No.
Good, not evil. Success, not failure. In order that I shall not regret the price I paid for it." I don't know. It just makes me just reflect on life and how, you know, at the end of the day, we are giving a day by God every day. And, you just can't take it for granted.
That's true.
And you cannot guarantee like, oh, I'll have many more days. But you know what? You don't know.
Never know.
Only God can grant us those days. And that is why make sure you tell your loved ones you love them. Make sure you call your mom. Make sure you do those things because you may not get another chance. We have a caller already, Ruby. Do we have a caller?
Dominic.
I don't know if it's Dominique or Dominic.
It's Dominic. It's Mr. Metro.
Dominic, what do you got for me, man?
Well, I was going to talk about something else, but the topic here, and I don't think people realize something.
Talk to me.
Okay, and this does deal with the two atomic blasts. My dad was in the Pacific Theater during World War II. And every so often he would say something like, we can't have nuclear war, but he never explained why. You know, this was back in a day where men held their anger, their tears, and stuff like that. And that wasn't healthy. But anyway, toward the end of his life, he said, I saw the mushroom, which means, okay, it affected him, and he was on a ship away from one or both of the sites that were nuked. But not only that, Gil, he died of cancer. My question is, was the seed for the cancer his exposure to radiation? Because if he saw the mushroom, he was irradiated at that point. And the second thing is, my sister died of cancer.
Wow.
And my question is, when my dad was irradiated during one or both of the blasts, was his DNA damaged, particularly where the male stuff is produced for intercourse? And my thing is, this has not just been a Japanese issue for healing. It affected more people. Granted, the Japanese at those two cities got it. I mean, I would say 99.9% of it. But I think we're forgetting all the service personnel and all the, you know, maybe they were hiring some people to work the ships and stuff. Were also irradiated, and we don't have any figures how many people were irradiated from the military side, or it's in the Pentagon somewhere, and they're not going to let that out.
You know, that's a real good
servicemen.
Dominic, that's a really good point, because you also heard about it in Vietnam with Agent Orange and all the other chemicals that were spilled and you know, in fighting that war, and again, soldiers coming back with all kinds of breathing disorders and all kinds of things. So, you know, that you bring up a great point, and we'll never know. We really will never know.
Gil, my thing is, you know, I'm colorblind. I'm tone deaf. You know, I'm beginning to, you know, I have to ask the question, was this naturally in my gene pool coming from my parents and grandparents and so on and so forth? Or is this the result again of my daddy's, sperm being damaged because of irradiation? I mean, we'll never know, but I think that is something we need to look at when we go into a situation, you know, or give stuff to another country. I think we need to say, how is that going to not just hurt the enemy? Is it going to hurt us? And I think that needs to be discussed.
Well, I think,
and with that, I think I've said enough. I'm going to send it back to you, Gil. Thank you for letting me speak.
Dominic, thank you. You know, Dominic's such a thoughtful guy. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, the moral to his story is you got to think about the ramifications about everybody, because this is one Earth, one planet. And if you start doing things that, you know, affects the atmosphere and all these sorts of things, well, it's going to affect everybody.
Right.
And that is why we cannot think about we're solo anymore. The Earth is getting smaller and smaller somehow. So I appreciate Dominic sharing that with us. And Ruby, I really appreciate your story about mm-hmm. going through that. It clearly moved you for all the reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, and I'm sure there are still many survivors. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know that we have a lot of people calling us, and we had, I thought we had Guillermo on there, Gallegos, the Speaker of the House over in the government of El Salvador. I thought we had him on a little while ago. He probably's on. At the end of the day, I know we're going to have Daisy. Guillermo, are you there? Orlando Sanchez, are you there?
I'm here, Gilbert. How are you?
Orlando, thank you for coming on the show. A tip from Gilbert, talk, inspiration, and prayer. Of course, most Houstonians all know Orlando Sanchez because he's really given a lot of his adult life to public service. Orlando, welcome to the show. And let me ask you this, Orlando. Who really got you going on public service? Was that your family? I mean, how were you bitten by the bug to really give back?
Funny story, Gilbert. I blame it on the Huffines family, both Roy Huffines and Fred Hoffines. As you know, Roy was the county judge and the youngest mayor of Houston, and then his son Fred became mayor. And that's the whole reason my family came to Houston, is because my father was the first Spanish voice in Major League Baseball. He was recruited by Roy Hoffines, who was part owner of the Colt 45s, who became the Houston Astros. And so that's how I got the bug.
Orlando, I didn't know any of that. Holy cow. What a great story. So when you, and of course, Orlando had a very successful term on city council. When you got on city council, what did you learn? What stuck with you most?
The ability to affect the average citizen's life. You know, when I got on the city council, Gilbert, we had just come out of the deep depression in the 80s, where oil was trading very low. Our downtown buildings were empty. We had no sewer capacity. The police academy had been closed. Infrastructure was lacking. We were under EPA sanctions for, you remember when the streets would flood, the sewer would go into the storm sewers and go into the bay. We had all kinds of problems. And, you know, working with Bob Lanier as mayor, we fixed it. We issued a lot of money, though, in debt. This is something you know about. We issued $1.7 billion worth of debt to rehabilitate our infrastructure. So that's what I learned, that in public service, and by the way, you too have been in public service most of your adult life. So we thank you for that. Not only running for mayor now, putting your time and your resources into it, but you also chaired a multi-billion dollar operation known as the Metropolitan Transit Authority. So you know that our decisions do affect the average citizen's life.
Amen to that. And that's why you got to use it for good,
that's right,
especially when you're in a position to use it for good. Well, let me ask you this, Orlando, because you know you are really, I don't want to say an expert, but you're kind of the closest thing to an expert. You've run a couple of times. You've served many years as the county treasurer. You know, they've been talking in my life, I feel like we've been talking about it for 40 years, the Hispanic giant. You know, when is the Hispanic giant going to wake up? You know, what do you see out there? How can we get Hispanics to start really engaging and voting? Do you see the same issue, the same challenge?
Yes, we have been asking that question ever since the days I used to volunteer with the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project. Back in those days, the stalwarts of the Hispanic community, John Castillo, Ben Reyes, Betty Maldonado, you know, tried to get Hispanics to have a voice in local government. Gilbert, in 1995, when I was elected, we had half a dozen members of the city government were Hispanic.
Wow.
We had John Castillo. We had Orlando Sanchez. We had Gracie Sines. We had Gabriel Vasquez.
Wow.
We had Grace Sylvia Garcia's controller. And we had District I. I forgot his name. A famous family from the East End.
Fraga.
Six members of this. Felix Fraga.
Felix, yes.
Six members, half a dozen members of the Hispanic community, two at large and the rest, three at large, me, Gracie, and Sylvia, all got elected at large. And we had city council members. And today, Gilbert, in spite of the fact that the Hispanic community has grown to well over 40% of the population of Houston, we are down to one little bitty Hispanic who gets elected with 3,000 votes.
Wow.
It's sad. It's pathetic. And that's the issue. How do we inspire a community that has no voice to stand up and have a voice in the local government?
Well, I know you're trying because you're on the ballot for controller. And, you know, controller is one of those things that, if you don't mind me saying this, it's not necessarily the sexiest office, but you know what? It's important. Yep. And you need people who know what they're doing, and you certainly do. You want to tell us a little bit about, I mean, I know things are just now getting going on that race. What do you see as the most important issue?
Well, something that you probably are talking a lot about, Gilbert, and that is the city's financial situation.
Yes.
We're not in great shape financially. You're a financial expert. You have spent your entire life in the bond industry, and you know about debt. And so what Houston has done, it has promised a lot, in particular to the pensions, the police, the fire, and the municipal. But we've borrowed to meet those debt requirements. And while they try to tell us that they went to the legislature 6-7 years ago and fixed it, they didn't. The pension liability next year for police and fire grows by several million dollars. Now, guess who pays for that?
We do.
The taxpayers.
That's right.
Yeah. So what's happening, Gilbert, as you know, the city of Houston only has two paychecks, property taxes and sales taxes. And what's happening is almost half, maybe 60% of that goes to pensions and salaries. So that's why we don't have an academy for the police. That's why our fire stations are falling apart. That's why we don't have enough equipment in the ambulances. That's why their fire trucks are, you know, in disrepair. So we've got some real serious challenges, Gilbert, and I know you know all about it.
Well, Orlando, I really appreciate you calling in, and I really think that you've done a good service for the community. I hope you call in again and just let us know what's going on the campaign trail and let us know what you're seeing out there.
Well, thank you, Gilbert, and thank you for sacrificing your time and your family's time with your wife and children, your extended family. You and your brother Roland have a long storied history in political activity in Houston, and we need more Gilberts to get involved. So that's what I encourage everybody. If you haven't registered, please register, and for, you know, Pete's sake, vote November.
Amen. Thank you, Orlando Sanchez. Houston, that was Orlando Sanchez, of course. He's been our county treasurer, he's been a councilman, good citizen, and now he's a candidate for city controller. And you know, he just, because he's been around,
right,
he just knows a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
I wish we could somehow stir up the more voter participation. But I mean, like you said, I think that's something we've been trying to solve for a long time.
Well, you know, I have been on the campaign trail, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I don't know if this is a good sign or a bad sign, but all of a sudden I'm getting people like throwing stones at me on the right and the left. I mean, I don't know. Does that mean I'm doing something right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, one council member who's a council member now, and if you really make me, I'll say her name. You know, it's just one of those things. I guess campaigns bring out certain feelings of people. Not me, because I've just never run before, and I'm a soccer dad, and I have a company and this and that. But I guess it brings out something in people. So are you ready for this? Our building security man, Raul.
Right.
And everyone knows him.
Know Raul.
Everybody knows Raul as Raul, because some people become legendary. You just know them by their first name, like Madonna.
Exactly.
Or Selena or Cher, or, you know, but so he's Raul.
Right.
And he was just a regular guy shopping, I think at Walmart. And he had on a Gilbert Garcia for Mayor t-shirt. You can see it right here. And on the back, I have it on my back. And this council member, like, followed him to his car, almost like harassing him.
Wow.
It gets better or worse. So then he was there, and she says, "Sir, you tell Gilbert Garcia and his group that I'm going to be watching them because they tore down my sign."
Oh my goodness.
Can you believe that? Terrible. I mean, first of all, as if I have nothing better to do but to go tear down signs of any candidate. And why would I tear down a sign of a district council member?
Exactly.
I'm not running against her. I mean, it's just quite hilarious.
Well, I think it just demonstrates that people are just always, like, even folks running for campaign, I mean, there's this, like, almost hatred streak in there.
Yeah,
right?
Mean streak.
Yeah, and that's not the case. You know, when you're in that position, you're speaking for so many folks. And remember that you're working for them.
Yeah. So you ready for this? Ready for the Paul Harvey rest of the story? And I know we have lots of callers already waiting, but I got to finish this story. I just got to finish this story. I know there's a Mr. Tucker. I think Joaquin. I think there's a Miss Brittany. Dom, kind of come. Don't worry. So then, of course, I felt, because you know me, I felt, well, let me call her and, you know, not necessarily apologize because I didn't do anything, but just reassure her that I'll make sure I'll tell my sign people, because I've got people putting up signs, all the candidates do, that we're not doing such a thing. And don't worry, but I appreciate her bringing it to my attention. Well, I couldn't even get her phone number. So I had one of my assistants calling, couldn't get her phone number. So then we called her counsel office. And they were like, well, what's this about? Yeah. And I'm like, what do you mean? What's it about? We're just trying to, isn't she a public servant? How do I reach her? So I had one of my schedulers, and I've never had a scheduler before Houston, never. And I still have a hard time because I like to know what I'm doing. So I'm learning how to have a scheduler. Right. So I have my scheduler, and she works at my firm, but she does some things for the campaign. So she calls and speaks to someone. And of course, they're giving her a third degree, and we just sort of let it go. The council member calls her and leaves the meanest message.
Oh, terrible.
Don't you ever call my council office and with anything about the campaign, because that's illegal. And I mean, just said all this mean stuff. Oh, no. And it was the tone of her voice. By the way, we probably have that recording. And my schedule's all of like 23 years old. Oh, I mean, she's just a young experience.
I mean, maybe that's why folks don't want to get involved.
Yeah, they she's just a young lady getting reamed. And here's the thing. She never said anything other than, I'm trying to get your number for Gilbert Garcia. can you believe that?
It's terrible.
I know. So I know you're kicking me under the table saying, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? It's Councilmember Shabazz.
Wow.
So, Councilmember, I'm just letting you know, I didn't tear down any of your signs. So, I'm just letting you know. And all we wanted was just your phone number to tell you. And because I wasn't able to get that, I'll just say it here on the radio. So, yeah, no, we would never tear down your signs nor anybody else's. And I'm going to make my team know, don't tear down any signs.
That's right.
Because, holy cow, it's just not the right thing to do. So anyways, I had to get that out of my system.
It's off your chest.
It's off my chest. So let's go to our next caller. There was a Mr. Tucker. Mr. Tucker, are you there, sir?
I'm right here.
Talk to me, Mr. Tucker. You have me, Gilbert Garcia, a tip from Gilbert.
Gilbert.
Yes, sir.
One of the questions was, I didn't watch that movie, that Oppenheimer thing. But for one thing, it was too upsetting to me.
Yes.
And the second thing is, I don't know where I was, what church I was in, but it said somewhere that man is going to destroy himself. God ain't going to have nothing to do with it. And did you know that everything is in place for that prophecy to come true? Did you know that?
Well,
everything.
You know, I didn't know it, but now that I'm hearing you and I'm thinking about the movie and I'm thinking all these things, you know what? I get it. I mean, these nuclear weapons, we just cannot use them, Mr. Tucker. We just cannot.
But it's prophecy. That's what's so upsetting here, because that is prophecy. I don't know if it came from the mouth of God or something, but man is going to destroy himself. God said, I have nothing to do. He's going to burn up the world. He's going to burn it up. And everything's in place for that. Now, I heard, are the firemen still working without a contract?
Yes. Can you believe that? I say the same thing. What? I mean, it's been like 7 years. And
that's what I'm saying.
One of my partners, her husband is a firefighter. And of course, I've had Marty Langton on my show, the head of the union. And look, at the end of the day, no matter what you may think about this or that, and later in the future, I'll go deep into what really happened. But the bottom Hold on, Mr. Tucker. Here's the thing. Are you ready for this? The voters overwhelmingly voted for pay parity, meaning the voters spoke, and it wasn't even close. It was like 3-1. And here we are wasting money on all these lawsuits. And by the way, Mr. Tucker, we're really paying both sides of that lawsuit. And I've had Marty Langton on my show, and he has said to the mayor, let's just get in a room and visit. And the mayor wouldn't do it. And he says, let's just go to arbitration. And you know, here we are with no contract, and morale is just not where it should be for those firefighters.
And that's what I'm saying. And that should not be, because I mean, you can't work a man without a contract. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. And then the politicians wonder why they can't get us to vote.
That's right.
And vote for what? That's because true. They're not going to do. They're going to promise you to moan and deliver nothing. So
you're right.
And we're gonna, and this the mayor's race is gonna be that's going to be hard for me because both of those candidates are good candidates, both of them. Whitmire and Jackson Lee, those two in my mind. So I'm going to have a hard time.
Well,
be listening.
Mr. Tucker, don't forget me now. I'm running for mayor now. Don't forget me.
Oh, are you really?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen for you because before I go to the polls, I listen. I listen good. Very carefully. Very
good,
carefully.
Good. No. Okay. Listen, they are a long time. They've been on the ballot, 20 and 30 times right. each. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, I particularly have worked with the congresswoman, and I can tell you point blank, I think there's 5 Sheila Jackson Lees. Yeah. I really do. Mr. Tucker, she's everywhere. I think there's five.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even the Speaker of the House, how many times did they have to take a vote before we even got the Speaker of the House? I was getting tired of even listening to that.
Well, the other thing about the congresswoman is, I was at Metro and we got that $1 billion from the federal government. And even though she's my opponent, so to speak, at the end of the day, I'll call it like I see it, Houston. We would not have gotten that money without Sheila Jackson Lee.
Right.
I bet you she had the Secretary of Transportation. She was just browbeating that man to get that $1 billion. And you know what? We got it. And thank you, Congresswoman Lee. There's no doubt.
So you see how hard that's going to be when it comes down to the vote. We're going to have a real hard time deciding who we want for our next mayor. Thank you, Gilbert.
Mr. Tucker, thank you for coming here. So we got another caller already, and I think it may be, is it Joaquin? Joaquin. Hold on a minute. Joaquin, are you there? Joaquin.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Joaquin, is that you?
This is me, Gilbert. How are you doing? You caught me on my lunchtime.
Well, I'm so glad I got you. Before you we go, can I just mention one thing? I knew a Joaquin in my at college, and we used to call him Kenito.
Is that the nickname?
Kenito. Does anybody have a nickname for Joaquin or no? For you?
There are no nicknames. as young as I could remember, as many times as they've been trying to give me a nickname, I've always said they're going to learn my name.
Yeah.
It's a special name. My dad gave it to me, so I'm going to wear it with honor. So
amen.
Joaquin has always been it.
Well, Joaquin, tell me this. Before we get into anything about – you're running for council, I know. Before we get into any of that, tell us about – don't you have a son? You have children, right? Tell me about your son. I remember your son when he was young. How old is your son now?
So Joaquin, and he doesn't like to be called Junior because he has a middle name.
Ah.
And I want to respect that. But Joaquin's 17 years old.
Wow.
He's going to be a senior this year. So I'm soon to have a graduate. And then I have a soon-to-be 8-year-old, Julian, a 5-year-old, Lucas, and a soon-to-be 3-year-old, Kalina. So we have a baby girl. And, of course, my wife, Myra.
Joaquin, you are a blessed man. So, Joaquin, you have been in the community for, again, I don't know. You're a young man, but I think of you being in the community for like almost 20 years or something. Mm-hmm. Even though you're a young man, I really think, I don't even know when you started getting involved with the community, but it was a long time ago, right?
It was. I was fortunate. One of my former mentors passed away. God rest his soul. He was my basketball coach in middle school.
Who's that?
But he was Johnny Soto.
Oh, yes. Okay. Go ahead.
He was the chief of staff for John Castillo back in the late 90s.
I remember.
So that was my first kind of taste of this space. And then after that, I worked for what is now called Baker Ripley. It used to be called Neighborhood Centers. And I used to manage youth programs for over 10 years. And then over the last 9.5 years, I've been working out of the district I office. So over 2 decades of, and I appreciate you calling me young.
I knew it. Yeah, well, you are young and you look young, but you know what? You are very, very experienced. There's no doubt. And so you're running for council in your district where you work for the councilman now, which is Councilman Gallegos. You work for Councilman Gallegos. So you're going to run for that district. What are you seeing out there? I mean, I I'm running for mayor. And one of the things that's been, I don't know, disappointing is how many people do not know there's an election. Do you get that or is it just me?
So I think it's definitely a common theme every election cycle. And if you're going to the larger base, then you're definitely going to hear that. I've been knocking on doors since April, and there are folks that don't know that there's going to be an election. And I think some of that is election fatigue because we have a lot of the elections are getting more and more hyped up, if I can say that. We just had a November election. We had a primary last year. So elections are starting to come around more and more. And so I think some folks are having some election fatigue, but you're never going to find somebody that, or a community that everybody knows that there's an election. So we need to keep knocking on doors and making phone calls.
So what do you think is the biggest issue for you? I mean, when you say, you know, I'm going to do these two or three things, what's your district really want?
Yeah, so it comes down to basic services. You know, I've had the past 9.5 years working out of a district office, and our phone calls, you know, those are all basic services that we're not at par. We've been growing, the city's growing, but the programs, if we can say that, right, for the city, have stayed the same. And so we're not catching up to the population growth. One particular that I always harp on, because everybody, and I'm sure you can attest to this as well, trash, solid waste. It's probably one of the biggest things that folks call the office about. And, you know, if you think about it, you know, the city's grown, it's multiplied by almost two over the last, you know, 10 years or so. And so you're still having the same solid waste routes that we had 10, 20 years ago. We can't do this. Can't keep doing that. We need to change our mindset, how this program works, and how we can make sure that the services that we're wanting to make sure that residents get, that they do get. And so basic services, that's on kind of on everybody's driveway, right? But then we talk about permitting, which help bring revenue to our city, make sure that the city continues to grow. Backlogs in the permitting office, we're understaffed, underpaid, but then there's also ways that through technology, I feel like we can help be more effective and efficient as well. So there's a lot of basic services that we definitely need to make sure we restart rethinking that foundations need to be first in the city.
Good for you, pal. Yeah. I really think we need people like you in government, because you're young, you think differently, you're willing to think differently. And on the permitting side, I've lived it, my friend. I don't know if you know. Yeah. Number one, my wife and I built our dream house. It took us almost a year to get all the permitting. And then, of course, I was experimenting. I'm trying to, you know, do my part on affordable housing. So my wife and I are building a couple of units there in City Gas. And you know what? It took us almost a year to get the permitting. Yeah. And that's just not right, because permitting in reality is, you should think of it as a revenue generator. And you need to get the permitting out there. You need to get the jobs. You need to get the people anchored in. You got to get home ownership, all those things. So we've got to do a better job.
100% agree. And that's one thing for me, honestly, come day one, January, I'm ready to get to work, roll up my sleeve.
You know what? I believe it. Yeah. All right, Houston, that's Joaquin running for District I. Joaquin, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me, Gilbert.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ruby.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Joaquin. Interesting comment about the growth of the city of Houston. You know, you see so much building, but I guess I didn't think about services like Joaquin mentioned.
Yeah, and if you've been doing trash pickup the same way for 25, 30 years with all the new stuff.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
It's kind of like Metro.
You just think, well, it's understood. There may be a new development, but, you know, the city will come pick up my trash. Right. I guess I didn't think about that. That's interesting.
It's kind of like Metro. Comment. The obvious, the bus network. Mm-hmm. We hadn't looked at the bus network in 100 years.
Yeah.
And when I was there, I said, well, golly, maybe people moved around.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ruby, so going back for a second, I'm just looking at my clock because already time is flying on me. You know, I must be doing something right as a candidate because I'm getting attacked on the right and the left. Yes. And so I was attacked by a blogger. And, you know, I was the only one that came out with my pledge to Houston, and I framed it, and I'm going to read it. But what's interesting is I have it there to show what I'm going to do in my first 100 days. And instead of saying, golly, way to go, you did that, his response was, well, how come you didn't put democracy? I mean, of course I believe in democracy. But I mean, I'm trying to put actionable items here.
Right.
But you know, that was what he said to me. Your pledge doesn't have anything about promoting democracy. And, you know, I was just like deflated. I'm just like, holy cow, come on. I mean, of course I support democracy. Of course I support job creation. I support peace. I support all those things. But at the end of the day, you can't put everything on your first 100 days. So this is what I have here. So it says, and I'm just going to read it here. We all love Houston. Houston should be in the same breath as the great cities in the world. Now, I didn't write this because I ran out of space, but I mean, when people talk about great cities, I don't mean we want to be better than San Antonio. Right. I mean, we want to be better than New York, London, Paris, Munich, Barcelona, Madrid, Tokyo, Seoul. We want to be one of the great cities of the world. And we should be. And it says here, as mayor, I pledge to complete or initiate the following reforms in the first 100 days. Join me to make Houston happen. Crime. Well, I want to expand community policing to improve response time. What does that mean? Well, you know what? The firefighters got it right. Yeah. And what's the fastest way to get to a fire? Have stations throughout the community. And that's what they have. Mm-hmm. We need to have police outposts throughout the city so we can get to crime faster. And so people will see a police presence, because just visually, that's a deterrent. Increase civilian employees to free up officers for neighborhood engagement. What I don't know, but what I hear anecdotally, is we have a lot of officers doing paperwork. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to get civilians doing paperwork so we can have our police officers doing police work. Improve law enforcement coordination among jurisdictions. I'm told that they don't have the radios to communicate all those things. My goodness, if you've got HISD, Metro Police, you've got the sheriff, you've got, I mean, all the small city police, you got the constables. Well, my goodness, shouldn't they all be able to communicate? So if someone can say there's crime there, who's the closest?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it's just too easy in our mind.
Right.
Transparency. You're going to love this. So we put the check registry online at Metro when I was chairman of Metro back in 2010. So if people want to see, if you want to see where your tax dollars are spent, you don't have to go through FOIA, which means Freedom of Information Act, and request it. All you got to do is go online and see. Well, I've been harping on it on this radio show. I've been harping on it for 2 years. And I have here, place the city's past 5-year check registry online. And this came out. I did this pledge in May. Mm-hmm. Guess what the city just did? They put their check registry online.
Well, you got one down.
I got one down. I got one down. And you know what? If that's what it takes, well, I feel like I accomplished something. Conduct an audit of the city's housing department to address concerns of corruption. You know, the housing director said that it was a culture of corruption in the city.
I remember
right there.
That.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
And the authorities raided it.
Yes.
Now, a raid means people with a jacket that says, you know, FBI or DA just show up unannounced and they just take everything, all the computers. Well, that's what happened. Well, we need to audit that to see what do they know that we don't know so we can fix it. Conduct an audit of the city's health department to address issues surrounding the FBI raid. Mm-hmm. Guess what else was raided? The health department.
Right.
And people scratch their heads and say, yeah, the health department. Well, that's just like being able to have a permit to have a restaurant or something. Guess what? Most of, or a lot of that COVID money came through the health department.
That's right.
Infrastructure. Implement improvements to the city's water system. I don't know what's going on there, but I want to find out. Yeah. All I know is I want to be able to open my faucet and I don't want to have to boil my water. This is Houston, Texas. You know, I mean, we went to the moon here in Houston with NASA and everything else. We got to be able to have clean water.
Yes.
Fix potholes.
Well,
I mean, how long have we been talking about potholes? I feel like I am potholed out.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, one of the things I've heard is they sort of do a temporary patch. And I don't know what that means, but they're not really fixing the pothole. So it busts up again.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is I'm going to get into it and figure it out. Spend drainage fee money on drainage projects. You know what's happening? A lot of the drainage money, when we're taxed to be able to use to pay down the debt on infrastructure and then build new infrastructure, is not being used for that purpose. But that's what the voters voted on. And the city had this creative way of manipulating the formula. At the end of the day, it's not that they did that. It's that the taxpayers should know what's going on with their money. Finances. Well, we just need best practices. Institute financial best practices, write off worthless assets, and avoid structural deficits. Mm-hmm. Because so much of what's going on is we're spending money and we don't have the revenue to pay for it.
Right.
So how did we get by? Well, we used the COVID money.
Yes.
You wouldn't run your house like that. Yeah. You wouldn't run your business like that. My goodness, we shouldn't run the city like that. Quality of life for all Houstonians. Address affordable housing challenges in Houston and collaborate with local groups. Oh, that's a different sentence. Collaborate with local groups regarding stray animals. Evaluate recent car lane eliminations to prevent future traffic nightmares. Increase fines now for illegal dumping. Audit the recycling program. At the end of the day, those are the things that affect us day to day. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, affordable housing, well, I'm experimenting, and I now know one of the problems is permitting. Local groups on stray animals, look, I understand it is a big issue. We got to look at that together. One of the new things is, and I'm a, you know, I love bicycles, but at the end of the day, they're taking a car, two car lanes, and yeah, putting a bike lane. And all I want to know, very simple, and I've met with the bike people, is what is the process?
Right.
Did anyone do some sort of analysis on traffic? Did anyone do an analysis on how many people will ride their bike there? They took almost a lane and a half in front of our building here downtown, and almost nobody rides that bike lane. Yeah. And it, all it really is, in my view, is scary trying to go into our garage. And I just pray as I look both ways, because it's going both ways, not the traffic, but the bike lanes, that I don't hit anybody. Oh, my goodness.
Yep, I face that every day.
Right?
Yes.
There you go. Again, illegal dumping, you got to hit them in their pocketbook. Repair government relations. Look, I'm not happy with Austin and all that. I'm sure none of us are. But at the end of the day, you can't just throw bombs at them. We got to work with them. They're our banker. They're the ones that control things like taking over HISD, and they're the ones that control things like the Harvey money and other disaster recovery. I'd get on a plane and go to Austin immediately and try to work it out, or at least repair those relationships. And I said, implement the will of the voters by entering into arbitration with the Houston firefighters. Well, guess what? They just passed a law, even though I've been talking about it for 2 years, they just passed a law in Austin to do just that. Well, I'm so glad that they just discovered Houston, because I've been talking about it on my show. I've had Marty Langton on my show for 2 years.
So you saying you've got two down?
I've got two down, Ruby. I've got two down. Here's another one. Engage with the TEA to understand the pathway for HISD success. Mm. Everyone is waking up saying, oh my God, how did the Republican, and I'm a Democrat, how do Republicans take over HISD and all this kind of stuff? At the end of the day, remember, that didn't just happen. It was going on for like 8 years.
Right.
And then they took it over. And the only people that have been hurting are the kids.
Yes.
And they're all black and Hispanic, or most of them.
And they're our future.
They're our future. So I just want to find out, what is the pathway to success, and how can we get there faster so we can get local control back? Make City Hall work for everyone, because it sure works for the insiders and the lobbyists and all of that and the career politicians. So I said here, I want to place reasonable council member requests on the council agenda. Well, guess what? If you're a council member, you can't get anything on the agenda. The mayor won't put it on.
Oh, that's
Did
terrible.
You know that?
I did not know that.
And when I was chairman of Metro, I had the same authority, which is I could determine what's on the agenda and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, anytime I had any member of my board want something on the agenda, I put it on.
Well, that makes Why? Sense.
Yep. That's the way you lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather the public know what we're talking about then we're talking in the cloakroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to say to people, if you want something on the agenda, just come talk to me and we'll do it. Streamline the permitting process. Oh my gosh. And adopt market-based pricing. Look, if some developer wants to fast track their permit, well, let's charge them 20 times the amount.
Yep.
Maybe they'll pay it. And you know what we'll do? We'll use that money to subsidize others or to fix the streets. But at the end of the day, it's in our interest to go faster and get those things on the tax rolls. Let's see what else I got. Ensure a fair procurement process so insider influence is eliminated. We just saw what happened in the big airport. You know, these contracts are all about who's on whose team and all this, and who's the mayor's friend. At the end of the day, the right people should get it instead of people who are, I guess, have influence on votes. And my view is, how can you have people making money if they have no capital at risk and they don't know anything about the contract.
Right.
Yep. If they're making money, that's money then that's not going to the people. Oh my God, I'm on a roll here. So I want to just look at the procurement and redo it. Consolidate city departments to eliminate redundancies. There's got to be a way to look at all the departments. Everything should be on the table and make board appointments easier. And I want to eliminate conflicts. Oh my gosh. So I must have done something right. But ultimately, I left off democracy and I left off lots of things. Like I didn't mention that I want to have fresh air, clean air, and I want to have jobs. But you can't put everything. I must be doing something right. Oh, my God. We have a lot of other callers. And I'm not even going to get to what I wanted to get to today because I run out of time. I want to get to my – of course, I'm being attacked on this side. I'm being attacked on this side. And I want to get to that by – of course, the famous blogger, I'll give his name next week when we talk about it, who's just trashing the uptown, and he keeps talking about uptown and it's of the metro, this and that. At the end of the day, and I have one of my candidates, one of my opponents, and he's a gentleman and a half, MJ Khan. He keeps talking about how bad the metro wasted money on the uptown. Well, the punchline is, that's not our project.
Exactly. That was Uptown's project.
Uptown built that. They designed it. They built it.
Yep.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about it a lot next week because I'm running out of time, and I want to get to Daisy because there's extraordinary things going on with Daisy's life. But let's go. I got more to say. I know I have a caller. Who's my caller?
Jay.
Yes. Hello. Good morning.
Jay, speak to me, pal. What do you got for a talk, inspiration, and prayer? Am I on a road, Jay, or what?
You're always
well, on a first and foremost, I want to say congratulations on running for mayor because we definitely need someone like you on the seat here in Houston. I want to congratulate you on taking that decision because I think it's huge. It's big for all of us. We want to thank you. And on behalf of the Salvadoran American community here in Houston, which, by the way, in Houston, we're last time I heard that Hispanic community is at 48%, and we are the Salvadoran community is the second largest Hispanic community in Houston. And so I hear you're going to be for the second year in a row in the Dia del Salvadoreño Houston Festival, which we are all very excited to be at and also to have you. And we want to say thank you on behalf of the Salvadoran American community.
Well, thank you. It's going to be August the 6th. I still have tickets all day, 12 to 10. And you know what? You don't have to be El Salvadorian to go. It's going to be plenty of food, plenty of beautiful traditional dress, lots of artists. It's going to be over there. Let me give that address. It's the George Bush Park. I can't read that address from here, Mr. Producer. Move over a little bit. Aha. 16756 Westheimer Parkway. 77082. It's gonna be a blast.
Yes, and then I want to remind everybody that it's a family event, so children under the age of 11 are more than welcome. Bring the kids, come everybody. Everybody's welcome. In George Bush Park, it's the second anniversary of the Dia del Salvadoreño. We're gonna have many artists. We're gonna have traditional, delicious food. Houston Dynamo is gonna be there. Woo! Kicking the ball with the children. It's going to be a major reunion, not for only the Salvadorans, for the whole Hispanic community here in Houston. Everybody is invited. We were talking about how the Venezuelan community, it's getting involved with Houston. They're all invited to come. We'd love to have as many families as possible since we're making it so much family-orientated. And within the food and the music and the traditional dresses, everything is going to be very fun. It's going to be an amazing day starting from 12 at noon all the way to 10 p.m. So we just want to invite everybody to come on August 6th.
Jay, you had me at delicious food. Once you said delicious food, you tuned me out because all I could think about was pupusas.
Pupusas.
Oh my God.
I hear you're a big fan of pupusas.
Oh my God. My kids, they go pupusa crazy. And for those of you who don't know pupusas, just think of it like a thick tortilla. Flour tortilla, and when you can kind of open in the middle and there can be beans in there or other things, it's delicious. I know we only have five more minutes. Jay, I appreciate you calling, my friend, and I hope you keep calling, and I'm going to see you at George Bush Park.
You bet. You bet. All right. Thank you. Thank
yes,
you
so sir. Much for I know we have so many people that are still on hold, but I want to say a quick thing before I get Daisy on here. Greg Grugan, I want to say thank you to you and Fox for interviewing me. And it aired both on, I think it was Thursday night at 5, and then it aired Sunday morning. I'm going to play that in its entirety next week. So please listen to the show. You can see that and hear that interview. And I do want to talk about all this misperception and all this stuff that's just not true, or just the same old naysayers that want to keep us all down. I'm going to talk about Metro and what they're talking about next week as well. So I want to give Daisy Marin, because Daisy, we all know and we all love her. She's been my co-producer for so long. Are you ready for this? You are looking at a candidate for Senate in the country of El Salvador, representing what they call
diaspora.
Say that word three times fast. Diaspora. And that means everybody of the country that lives out of the country. Is that what that means?
Yes. All the Salvadorians, we left the country 30 years ago because of the revolution over there. And now we live here in the United States and around the world.
And you met the president.
Yes, I did.
What was it like to meet the president?
Oh, my God, Gilbert. It was amazing. He is so handsome. He has this beautiful smile. So much love for the people of El Salvador.
Oh, my God. If one of the requirements is to be handsome, well, then I guess I'm out for marriage. I mean, I have no chance. I mean, he's got his whole head of hair, and he's got a lovely wife and a baby and everything, right? And he's done so much for the country.
He does. He did so much, and he's doing so much in a short period of time.
Well, what do you want to do as a senator representing the diaspora? You know, what do you hope to accomplish?
Gilbert, for 30 years, we've been ignored by the previous government, and this is the first time that we are going to vote. In 30 years,
wow.
Can you believe we've been ignored? All the people that left the country because of the revolution, we've been out of the loop.
And he's doing that?
And he included us. He's giving us the opportunity. And I want to thank President Nayib Bukele for giving us the opportunity to vote. And I am so excited. Also, Guillermo Gallegos, I spent so much time down there visiting communities. And he's doing so much for the country, keeping the country secure, safe. It's a beautiful place now. You see thousands of children walking on the street peacefully.
Wow.
And you couldn't do that before because of the gang members.
And, you know, that's we take it for granted sometimes here in America.
Yes.
What goes on in other countries.
Yes.
We take it for granted. And, you know, for all our faults and this and that, just like family, you know, we all have families and we get mad at each other from time to time. At the end of the day, you love your family. Well, you know what? We love our country. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, this talk about defunding police and this, at the end of the day, when you're in trouble, who are you going to call? You're not calling Ghostbusters. You're going to call the police.
That's yes. Right. And thank you, Gilbert. I want to thank you so much for your support to the Salvadorian community and for all the great things that you're doing here in Houston. I'm learning from the best. And I want to serve the way you do here. And I thank you and grateful. God bless you for everything you do. And everybody's invited to Dia del Salvadoreño. So Gilbert is going to be speaking. One of the main... you are one of the main sponsors of the festival, and I want to thank you so much. We are grateful, and we are asking people to vote for you. All the Salvadorian community, they're here. Guillermo is coming to help you with your campaign.
Wow. Boy, I tell you what, I feel like a blessed man today. And, you know, the thing about blessings are it has nothing to do with the size of, you know, your wallet or anything like that. It has everything to do with, number one, God giving me another breath of life and another day of life.
Yes.
And then people around you having friends and family and people together. That's what it's all about.
Look at the pictures last year. We had an amazing time. And we're expecting double of the people because we had Telemundo, Univision, all the radio stations in the city promoting the event. And all I want is to serve my community and for us to be known hardworking people, and we come and support the economy. Look at all of these
it's
sponsors.
Be fantastic.
And you are on the top of the list, and I thank you so much for doing that for us.
Well, my pleasure as always. I'm going to wrap up here. Let me just say this. I've enjoyed this show. I really have. I've been doing it now for a little over 2 years, and I've had sex trafficking survivors. I've had many pastors. I've had other elected officials. When I have an elected official, I don't just have them talk about their politics or anything. I really talk about them as human beings and people. You know, what inspired them?
How did they get involved? What's going on with their families? So everyone out there in Houston, I hope you recognize that we're all in this together. And so when you're driving, you know, when somebody cuts you off or something, you know, don't get mad at them. At the end of the day, you don't know what type of day they're going through. And ultimately, we need to love our fellow human beings because there's only one race.
The human race.
And so I've learned a lot from some of the pastors who have been great inspirations to me, whether it's Pastor Childress at Covenant Glen, Pastor Farley, of course, Reverend Wooten, Pastor Miller, all these guys have been Cofield. They've all been such great inspirations to me. And so for all the pastors out there in the world, we really thank you for all that you do. Larinaga, Juan Carlos,
Pastor Montes,
all the pastors who do the Lord's work. We thank you for what you do. This is Gilbert Garcia saying, we will see you next time.
Thank you.
This is Gilbert Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert. Houston's not working for everyone. People don't feel safe. Potholes are everywhere. Water bills are skyrocketing, and minority businesses are struggling. That's why I entered the race for mayor. Read about my 100-day pledge to Houston at garciaforhouston.com. Thank you.
Political ad paid for by Garcia for Houston campaign.
This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia. Listen to my radio show, A Tip from Gilbert. Talk, inspiration, and prayer every Monday from 11 a.m. till noon on Houston's gospel leader, KWWJ, 1360 a.m. and streaming live on KWWJ.org. Listen on the legendary KYOK, 1140 a.m. and streaming live on KYOKradio.org. KCOH, 1230 a.m., The Source. On Same Geek Radio, 95.1 FM, 1460 a.m. And Aliento Radio, 101.7 FM and 1540 a.m. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.